Good morning. It's Tuesday, the 14th of January. It must be time to talk about Governor Chris Christie.
Oh.
Welcome to our roundtable panel this morning. We have a terrific group. Oddly enough, the same group we had yesterday. And they were so great, we called them back.
Really? So we're going to be terrific today as opposed
to...
Okay, good.
Absolutely.
Optimism.
Oddly terrific.
Yes, oddly terrific. No, I mean, I'm thrilled that we had the same group twice. That's fantastic. So WAMC's Alan Chartok is here. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, and do you have your...
There's the microphone.
Good.
Right up there. That's it. That's
good morning. Did you ever think that coffee sometimes is so good that it's literally medicinal?
Oh, yes.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah, and you let it linger.
And you linger. That's right, Joe. You're so smart. And it gets in the back of your tongue. And then up, you know, the fumes up your nose. It's wonderful.
Well, if you do that thing where you take the lid off the coffee and you just put your nose like a vaporizer.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really good
That's
stuff.
That's great.
Check, please.
Okay. Newsman Ray Graff will be leaving us soon, apparently. And good morning, Raymond.
Hi.
How are you?
Nice
do you
to
have
be
coffee?
Here. Yeah, I do, as a matter of fact.
Good.
It's
well,
heady vapors are rising and whatever you said.
Is coffee legal in New York?
I don't know.
Not
perhaps some overnight legislation tonight would be able to put the clamp down on that.
And Mike Spain is here, our Times Union Associate Editor, or the Times Union Associate Editor. We shouldn't lay claim to him, I guess. Although, you know, we certainly are thrilled to have him on the air. He's starting to get mail here, so that's
a good
sign that he's a regular.
So you're getting hate mail? Oh, good for you.
No, I don't think it's
you're
hate
one of the
mail.
Team now.
No, it was just somebody admonishing us all for our lack of knowledge about smoking marijuana.
Ah.
Okay.
All right, well, let's take care of that.
Let's take a break.
Guys.
We'll toke up and we'll be back.
Guys, about 4:20 this afternoon, we'll get together.
That's very funny.
All right, let's talk about the governor of New Jersey. I keep on thinking the story's going to die down, and it doesn't.
Well, it's a great big story.
Stop it. Stop
it's not going to die
Stop
down
it.
Until the truth is out. That's all.
Well, but there are more and more facets to the story. So then there is there's the Jersey City mayor, Steve Phillip. Is that how we're pronouncing his name?
Whatever.
Got a call from the governor congratulating him and offering him whatever he could do to help. They set up a lot of meetings, and they were hoping that it would be a happy relationship. And then... when they said, well, the mayor said he couldn't endorse the governor, well, then things turned bad.
Yeah, they canceled the meetings.
Yes.
In other words, what they had is each of the heads of the departments were meeting with their corresponding members and the mayor so that if there was a transportation commissioner, he would be meeting with the state. You know, I mean, I'm making some of these up, but that was the that was the general idea. And then as soon as he said no, he wouldn't endorse the governor, the Democrat, endorsing the Republican, the meetings were canceled.
And then, within an hour, apparently.
Yeah.
And then Jersey City, it left the city needing to fill its budget without money from the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey. Its request for help with Hurricane Sandy recovery, transportation, and other issues falling on deaf ears. And so... yeah, what this has in common, and we'll get to the other big, now you have me all self-conscious.
You mean
Alan.
Saying big? Mm. It's just a big story.
Yeah,
I don't want anybody to infer.
Another facet of the story, which is the misuse, possible misuse of funds, the alleged misuse of funds.
You mean
so,
the Sandy funds?
Yes.
So that's a separate story.
That's a separate story.
This
it's
is just
not,
a great week for Governor Christie.
It is actually not a separate story if you examine it conceptually, as. Once,
well, I was gonna draw the through line between the Fort Lee story and this story, and what those stories have in common is political revenge.
Yes,
and then from my understanding, the story about
Sandy,
the Sandy and the funds there had to do with the possible misuse of funds was hiring a firm that would include his image and family in ads that would be run through the political season.
And my answer to you would be, until the first major thing has busted, nobody was going to go after Chris Christie for the Sandy stuff.
It was done with.
They weren't going to go after him. He was too powerful.
Yeah, and he had won re-election by a huge margin. It really didn't matter. And, you couldn't say he'd won in the election or anything.
Yeah. Right, Mike. And once the vulnerability was shown, all call Philip Morris. Everybody was in.
Right. Well, wouldn't you think that now every public official in the state of New Jersey who may have been unhappy with the response he got when he made a petition to the governor's office is now wondering if it was political retribution because I didn't support him enough, maybe I didn't clap loud enough at the State of the State or something. You know, it kind of puts a cloud over every decision that the governor's office has made, whether it was he directly orchestrating this or his minions, his close advisors, basically taking it into their own hands to apply pressure on politicians to support him. Yeah.
The question, one of the things that came out during the George Washington Bridge, the original breaking of that story, which is less than a week old,
it seems like that story's been around for a while.
Well, no, I mean the actual breaking of the story my point being the emails that came out a week ago of saying, well, you know, don't worry about those kids. They're you know, Buono voters and that kind of thing. That along with these kind of stories all sort of play into this idea that, okay, I don't care whether you're a New Jersey resident or not. I only care if you're a New Jersey resident that voted for me.
Yeah.
I mean, can a case be made for that, and how does that play on the national stage?
Well, you know, we're continually being bawled out here for spending, at least I am, for spending too much time on political motivation. In other words, my saying that it's primary almost always to look at a Governor Cuomo and to say, okay, this is why he's up in the Adirondacks. Not just because he's up in the Adirondacks, but he needs upstate New York in order to win, you know, and win big the next time. The same thing Christie was going through. People say, "Oh no! The Adirondack stands alone as a political issue, as a substantive issue. He's just there." But I think you can almost lay out with most politicians the political motivation in order to understand what's going on.
So I guess my question is, what is, and thinking about what Mike said about, you know, how many of these mayors are looking at this and saying, okay, you know, was I wronged here, or is this just typical political machinations?
Well, now I want to get to Mike because he knows so much about this, really. But I think what happens is
he's setting you up, Mike. Be careful.
No. I think what happens
Mike's
is
Mike's closed many a bridge.
That newspapers have a lot of power, and the media has a lot of power. So if you're a schnook mayor somewhere,
a schnook.
It's not a dirty word.
Schmuck.
And
schnooky.
Yeah,
she's from New Jersey, right?
Yeah, that's right, Mike. Beautiful. And you want to exercise. There's nothing like calling up the journalist and saying, "Hey, have I got one for you? Now you owe me something." That happens all the time.
I think
would you deny that
chits are exchanged between politicians and journalists. It's probably not always a good thing, but it does. It is part of the fabric, I think, in reporting. You know, you cut somebody a break and they cut you a break, I suppose. Hey, I really need that document. Can you go back in and get it for me? Sure. You know, or, you know, you want to get a quote from the top guy. You really need it and you're on deadline and someone kind of presses you, and then maybe they come back with a press release a couple of months later that isn't really much of a story. It's like, can you get it in somewhere, even on the obit page?
They used to call them ads.
Right.
Drew Pearson once came into the office where I worked, the congressional office where I worked, and Drew Pearson, for you young people, was, you know, one of the original great investigative reporters, and he came into the office where I was standing, and Congressman looked and said, "Thanks for the ad, Drew."
Oh, I know.
Thanks for the ad, meaning, you know, he had done him a favor and put some story in.
Well, he was just telling it like it was. But, I think there's a good point you make about the motivation of Governor Christie. You know, first of all, and there are some comparisons to Governor Cuomo now, because last year Christie was going into a re-election. He wanted not just to win, which he could have easily done. I mean, with his hands tied behind his back, he was a popular governor, et cetera, et cetera. And then, but he wanted to win big, probably for two reasons. One, to propel his administration and his agenda for a second term. And you need a big, you know, plurality to show that you have the people behind you. If you just won it by a hair, it makes it a lot more difficult. Just check out Obama. But then the other was to launch his presidential aspirations, you know, and bolster that. And Governor Cuomo, you know, right now there's no formidable candidate. I mean, you know, Rob Astorino, the county executive in Westchester County, is beginning to build a campaign, and maybe that will gel, and that time will tell. But, I mean, right now nobody is out there that looks like they can knock off Governor Andrew Cuomo, and he's got a $30 million plus war chest, campaign war chest, to fight it off. But he wants to win big, evidently. He wants to win in all parts of the state.
Right, right.
With that, he can go forward in his second term and promulgate his vision of what needs to happen. If you just win in a very tight race, that becomes more difficult, I think.
Right. I think that's the way it is accepted. You know, I've had my differences with Andrew Cuomo. Believe me, I have, and everybody here knows it. But the one thing I can tell you is that they don't go around taking prisoners, at least in my case. You know, I've been very critical about a number of things. And I can tell you there are points of access where they could if they wanted to. And they don't. You know, there's some understanding, a higher understanding on Cuomo's part than there is in New Jersey. I mean, you left out Donald Trump running against.
Well, I wasn't. I said serious
you
candidate.
You left out him. Yeah, right.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll wrap up the story, and then we'll move on to other stuff after a news break from NPR. We'll be back right after the short break.
Support for WAMC comes from Harbrook Fine Windows, Doors, and Hardware since 1955, featuring windows and doors by Marvin for design and energy efficiency, serving Eastern New York. Harbrook.com for showroom directions. Buttermilk Falls Inn, Milton, a 75-acre Hudson Riverfront resort with lodging, a farm-to-table restaurant, and spa, buttermilkfallsinn.com. And First Sun Solar, Springfield, Massachusetts, specializing in the design and installation of solar PV electric systems, customizing and managing residential and commercial solar projects. FirstSunSolarCo.com.
Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Alan Chartok, Ray Graff, Mike Spain, and we welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'd love to hear what is on your mind. We should note, as we wrap up the Governor Christie story this morning, the governor is prepared to give a State of the State speech today. What else is going on? Well, Democrats in the legislature in the state said that they would name a special investigative panel with subpoena power to continue looking into the lane closures of the George Washington Bridge. And they expected to subpoena more Christie loyalists as soon as Thursday. Meanwhile, and we talked about this just a little bit before the break, which is federal investigators announced they would audit Mr. Christie's use of Hurricane Sandy relief money on a $25 million ad campaign that featured his family to promote the Jersey Shore. And meanwhile, a poll shows that Mr. Christie's popularity, while still high for a politician, had suffered its first hit since Hurricane Sandy sent it soaring. While 70% viewed the governor in a positive light a year ago, 44% did in the poll conducted Friday.
That's incredible. That is really incredible. That
I think Republicans are still pretty strong behind him, aren't they?
More than 80% of those polled said they had heard about the scandal, and about the same percentage of them said that they expected more aides to be implicated. A majority, 51% of those people who were aware of the Wayne closing said that the governor had not been completely honest about what he knew about the subject.
Yeah. There's one other thing that I wanted to mention here in terms of this whole picture of Chris Christie and re-election. You will remember that there was a senatorial election, a special seat, right?
Mm-hmm.
A special election. And rather than have the Democrat running well next to him, he had a separate election scheduled.
Two weeks before, which caused
an immense amount of money, millions and millions of dollars, and in order to not infect, you know, this amount, Mike, that you were talking about of votes.
Don't take the spotlight off me, in other words.
Yeah.
And
teacher,
there might have been some Democrats who voted for the mayor of Newark to become the new U.S. senator and might have not voted for Christie, I guess.
I was going to complain, a teacher, about Ray Graff this morning. He's starting up, Joe, with me. And
why?
I'm not going to have any fist fights with you here. I'm not going to have any kind of fist fight here in the studio.
I haven't challenged you.
You know, you gave me a little, you know, a little. You look like you're going to hit me.
No.
Under the table.
I'm
here.
Far away. Okay. I'm far away. Not a far enough away, but far, but far away.
He just wanted to smell your coffee.
I wanted to complain to the teacher. He started it.
No, that's not true.
Is that my role?
That's not true.
You kids be good, or I'm going to turn this car
control.
Right around.
Take control.
So, again, we asked the question with these new question marks, the state of the state coming out today, all eyes, many eyes will be on New Jersey. They'll give it, I'm sure it'll get much more national press than the New Jersey State of the State address would at any other time.
Yep.
However, the question is this new stuff more trouble, or is it just to be what we should have expected all
piling on, right?
Piling on, right?
That's think the gates have been open. Yeah. I think everybody says fair game now. In the old days, he was a powerful guy. He was going to run for president. He was untouchable. And now anything goes.
Yeah, I saw a story today that was the Associated Press had a story about how Republicans around the country are not jumping to his defense.
Well, a lot of them weren't there in the first place.
There are some who are happy about it because they didn't like him anyway. But there's others who were moderate backers of him. And there was a guy in Iowa, one of those I states, you know, but in Iowa, the important first primary state, where he had taken a delegation back in 2012 to try to convince Christie to jump into the race back then, you know, against Obama, and has been a big supporter, and he's kind of holding his own, waiting to see what's going to happen. You know, so there's a lot of people waiting to see the outcome, and they'll be watching the state of the state, I'm sure, and how this plays out.
Well, there's a danger, obviously, of pledging your support this early in the game.
Absolutely.
Well, I hope he doesn't speak as long as on the state of the state as Cuomo did. I mean, that was outrageous.
Well,
that
this press conference last week was any indication we're in for
a long
speech.
That was an epic press conference.
Yeah. Well, you know, if a politician came out today and threw his firm support, a Republican from somewhere in the Midwest or elsewhere in the U.S., not in the Northeast, came out and gave big support for Governor Christie and said he believes in him. And then somehow Christie survives all this and is able to not be caught and implicated anymore. And it happens early. Yeah. It could be good.
Yeah. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we will continue our conversation. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Good morning. Welcome back to our roundtable panel. Ray Graff is here, Times Union Associate Editor Mike Spain, and at the head of the roundtable, WAMC's Alan Chartok. Good morning, all. We also welcome your comments, roundtable at WAMC.org. And let us talk about a very sad story, but it's one of those things that you're just like, whoa.
One thing. I just want you to know how much I resent what you just said. You're the head of the roundtable. I'm just, you said, at the head of the round table.
Wow. Well,
I just want to make it clear that you, Joe Donahue, are the head of the round table.
Okay, first of all, it's interesting that you would take offense to that. but
And there's a geometry problem here,
But
too.
Also, exactly. That's true. Well, that was the joke.
You're
the head. But the other thing... is that you? I was referred to as teacher before, and that was sort of my thought of my role.
Yeah, teacher.
You know, the teacher, and you're at the head of the table, and that's all.
So who's at the head of the table?
It doesn't matter.
Alan?
I'm not at the head of the table.
Right there.
I'm just sitting right here. I'm a little guy sitting at the
get him a telephone book.
In the corner here.
okay.
And don't think everybody didn't hear that, Ray Graff. What? Everybody heard the slur. You know, they're always trying to figure out what I'm doing to you, and you're always the guy who very cleverly, you know, puts your hand in my ribs.
I don't know what you're.
I know what you're on about. Yeah.
Frankly, can we do the show now?
Do you ever remember that it was? Who was the Casey Kasem?
Sure,
Casey Kasem.
That was pretty good, Mike.
And the countdown, and they have tape of him, some of the outtakes of him, and and he's getting really upset because he has to do this dedication and request about a dog dying.
Yeah,
and all this stuff is going on. And he has I can't come out of these up tempo records and go into a dog dying. Okay, so I'm going to change up what I was going to talk about because there was some mirthful discussion.
Oh,
so it's hard to make that transition.
Yes. No, we're sorry.
Okay.
Alan's
no,
done
okay.
that before.
No, it's
all right.
Sorry. It's fine.
Ray is sorry.
That story you wanted to talk about, we're just going to hold that for a minute. And we're going to go find out what's on Mike's plate and what's going
it's
on.
It better
at
be
the,
damn cheery. That's all I can say.
Yes, we need this as sort of the, what do they call that? The palate cleanser.
Yes, well, I
could use a lot of that.
We had a couple of those yesterday. well, here's some good news. You're going to get a very big bill in the mail for your utility in the next couple of weeks. Just one point on that. Even before the cold polar vortex, there was already a spike in natural gas prices in the Northeast, and people were seeing a 50% increase in electricity because a lot of electricity is generated at plants that use natural gas. And then when you add in the sub-zero temperatures from the last few weeks, get ready. I hope there's some of those programs, you know, for people who
25% raise or something like that in your bill. Is that what it's going to be?
It says 50% in December raise. Alone for electricity, and now the gas directly used for heat for the people who heat with natural gas.
Hey, Mike, did you ever think that one of the big debates in New York State is obviously over fracking, and that when fracking is all about natural gas, and then when you see a story in the paper about 50% raise in your gas bill or your electricity bill because of the lack of this precious commodity, that there may be, this thing may have tentacles.
Well, there's enormous pressure on politicians to pass some kind of measures that allow hydrofracking, to remove natural gas from Western New York and from the Marcellus Shale that extends up into New York State. And I think that is going to be the next big issue, but it looks like.
But don't you think when you put a story like that on the front page of the paper,
we're participating in the pressure.
No, not at all. I'm not suggesting that at all. Yeah. I'm just simply saying, because it is a story, of course, probably a more important story than almost anything else. Mm. When somebody opens up their paper and are living paycheck to paycheck and see that their electricity bill has just doubled,
or if you're on unemployment and your unemployment was just cut off.
Yeah, and so then when you start to think about this now, you know where I stand on this thing. I think until you prove it's not going to kill people or kill their children or whatever else, you shouldn't be doing it. But I have a feeling that the economics of the situation will play high with a lot of people who are saying, we can't afford this, and if the hydrofracking would bring it down, we should do it.
Yeah, and there's going to be enormous pressure. I think that's going to be one of the big stories that plays out in the legislature this year. Certainly, another big one is school aid. We talked about that before. Lots of Democrats are lining up to really dig in and say we need to hike the school aid in New York. They're asking for a $1.9 billion increase in state aid to local school districts.
A funny number, right? Because the governor announced that we're $2 billion ahead.
Right.
You
throw a billion here, a billion there, and he's looking to provide a tax cut that would be equivalent to almost that. But about 83 members of both the Senate and the Assembly are Democrats are pushing the governor for this money. They say that's what's needed to correct the problems with education in New York. They're also asking for the Education Department to back off on the rapid implementation of the Common Core curriculum and all the testing that is associated with that. And they rallied at the Capitol. This is all a prelude to the governor coming out with his budget, and that'll really, you know, that'll put the that'll fill in a lot of blanks for where this session is going to go this year. And the only other thing I was going to mention was, Alan, we talked about it yesterday, the, you know, Dennis Gabrizak, the Western New York State Assemblyman, who's announced that he is leaving the assembly after seven women stepped forward in the last few weeks to say that he created a hostile work environment and sexually harassed them while they were on his staff. The assembly's own ethics committee will drop their probe because he will no longer be a member once his resignation takes effect. But it looks like the Joint Commission on Public Ethics, which is the
J-COPE,
is going to pick up the investigation and look into it. And there might be some recommendations on how to finally, you know, weed this kind of behavior out of the halls of the state capitol.
You know, it's interesting because I had a senior assemblyman call me yesterday, and we had a wide-ranging talk. It took about 40 minutes.
This was on air or just...
No. This is just on the phone. I love this particular guy. He's an older guy, and he's really wonderful. And he said, he will not have... This is where it goes south. He will not have a female intern in the office because this is happening. This is like... And so it may be a permanent, first of all, there are going to be women who are discriminated against who can't get jobs as interns, you know, as a result of this. I understand it completely, what he's saying. But you know, I think we're at a stage now where there may be a behavior change for everyone. For example, how come, I was talking to a doctor the other day, who said he has a nurse in the office, whether the patient is male or female. Because anybody can make an accusation.
Everybody wants a witness.
And so, you know.
Security cam would be cheaper than hiring somebody there.
I'm sure that'd go big in a doctor's office.
I don't want that tape out there.
Have you heard of the internet, Ray?
You don't need that YouTube vision.
You can see that one. You can see that one on the front page of the New York POST. Yeah.
But yes, it is. It's going to change. It's going to force a kind of a rigid culture change. And women in the legislature are also pressing for kind of a breath of fresh air to come through and kind of end this sort of old fashion, you know, guys have these young babes working for them kind of mentality, which apparently was prevalent in Assemblyman Gabrizak's office. Even by his own admission, he says things happen there that really shouldn't happen. But he does deny the sexual harassment charges, which can be played
well,
out.
Well, he says that on both sides there were you know, sexual things being said, and that he says they shouldn't have been.
They have
said.
No place in the workplace. That's right. And maybe now they won't be.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue with other stories and wrap up our conversation for this Tuesday morning. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We've got a couple of letters. We'll read those when we come back. You're listening to WAMC.
Support for WAMC goes from a New Leaf Used Books, Pine Plains, New York, an independent bookstore with seven rooms of books, fiction, poetry, history, gardening, cookbooks, and more, open daily, 12 noon to 5 p.m., a New Leaf Used Books on Facebook. Davidson Brothers Brew Pub, featuring food, ales, entertainment, and more, serving lunch and dinner 7 days a week in downtown Glens Falls, New York. DavidsonBrothers.com. And Saratoga Health and Wellness, a fitness facility providing clinically trained nutritionists and exercise physiologists designing personalized wellness programs. SaratogaHealthandWellness.com.
Welcome back to the roundtable. We have We love your letters, roundtable at WAMC. Let me get to as, let me see here. Boom, 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 boom. This is, we got two on Governor Christie. Number one, Republicans don't think there's anything wrong with that type of politics because that's how they operate. If you're on my team, I assume it would be a Democratic team, yes, then you get favors, oppose me, and you get stomped on. A democracy is, I see what he's saying. If you're on my team, whatever that team may be, then you get favors, oppose me, and you get stomped on. Democracy is only a talking point for Republicans.
I think that goes for both parties.
Absolutely.
And both
in
states.
Spots. Yeah.
And then this from Michael, which I think this is a good point, yeah. But it has been reported that Governor Christie had a meeting with Governor Cuomo to get the New York Bridge people to lay off the story. Why isn't Cuomo coming out and talking about this at all?
He's got to work with the other guys. He's got to work with New Jersey. And if it if he does do it, it's going to seem like he's piling on. So that's my bet about why. But the question is, who leaked the story? Are you following me, guys? Because it's subtle. Who leaked the story in the first place that Governor Cuomo had been approached by this? We don't know. So one of the ways the game is played, I'll give you something, but I don't want it tied to me. That happens all the time.
Again, we welcome your letters, roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. There was a story that's making headlines this morning, and it's just one of those things. They're like, wow. So an argument over texting at the movies ended in a cell phone user's death when a retired police officer in the audience shot him at a theater near Tampa. Two couples were among patrons at a matinee showing of Lone Survivor at the Grove 16 movie theater, about 20 miles northeast of Tampa, when one of the men, a retired Tampa police officer, got angry because the man in front of him was using his phone during the previews, despite being asked to stop several times.
And they tell you on the air, when you go in the beginning, there's always a thing saying, don't text.
Right, or you'll be shot. Not true. I mean, you don't shoot somebody for that.
What do you think? I'm making the argument that I should have been shot? That's what you think?
I don't know.
Saying?
Yeah. I don't know.
Okay, go ahead, Joe. Sorry.
I didn't hear that.
A witness told local television stations that the offended man stormed out to get a manager but returned without one. The man using the phone explained to the irritated man that he was simply texting his three-year-old daughter. The witness, Charles Cummings, told a television station in Tampa. 3 seconds, 4 seconds later, the argument starts again. They go outside the theater. Their voices start going up. There seems to be some sort of confrontation. Somebody throws popcorn, and then the shot was fired.
So he wasn't actually speaking on the phone. He was texting?
Texting.
That
yes.
doesn't make any noise, does
well,
it?
But the, light, be,
the light comes, comes
the light screen would.
It's
and
not
some...
a capital offense, however.
No, you're absolutely you know. Right.
And the wife reaches over, puts her hand on the husband's hand, the victim's hand, and she gets shot in the hand, I believe. Because her hand,
yikes.
She gets wounded, as I remember
well,
the story.
Clearly, this gentleman's reaction was, he snapped.
Overkill.
You know, But, and, I mean, you know, there had to be a psychic problem with this guy to do something so drastic. But it is interesting that some movie theater chains actually set aside rows in the back so that people can text during movies.
Is that right?
Oh, I did not know that. Really?
Yeah. I mean,
around here?
AMC chain, it says here.
Yes.
In
no, there are chains.
Well, I went to an AMC movie the other night in New York, and they didn't have...
well, they have sections, like a texting
well,
section.
Well, the new AMCs, 84th and Broadway, for example, you get a lounge chair, and you choose your individual seat. Did you know that?
How much does that cost?
It's $10 each.
Seniors, that's all.
The seniors were $10 each.
Ah, seniors. Yeah. I see.
Seniors $10 each. But I remember a story I was telling Joe earlier today. It has stayed with me my whole life, and I think you're going to understand why. You know, I grew up on 96th Street in New York, and a parking space was something. Once you had it, you didn't give it up. Forget about it. So there was a story in the paper about a guy who moved forward so he could move back. You know how you park, you go backwards.
Yeah.
So you move forward.
Mm-hmm.
A guy came along and dive bombed, which is the worst thing you can do in a New York City parking situation.
Got right
in
the spot.
And goes forward so the guy can't pull back. Yeah. And the guy gets, they both get out of the car, and then one guy takes the gun out and kills him.
Well, I mean, you know, some people have a very low breaking point when it comes to others not complying with the rules.
Can I get to the larger question here? Yeah. When I go into a movie theater, I'm not allowed to bring in, like, if I go walk in with my bottle of Diet Pepsi, I get yelled at and I told to throw it away.
Sure.
If I have a bag with a greeting card in it, I have to go put that in my car because I'm not allowed to bring a bag into a movie theater. How does a guy walk in with a gun?
No, wait. No, again, I did not see the story. However, they went outside, yeah?
No, they went outside the theater. They're in the hallway.
Oh. So he had the gun with him.
Yes.
Well, I mean, do they have a metal detector at theaters?
Well, no, I'm just saying that, yeah, you know, I'm getting frisked so they can sell me $12 popcorn. Well, meanwhile, people are walking in with firearms.
That's where the money is to be made. They don't make a lot of money.
Well, they sold guns.
No. I believe I'm right about this. I'm sure I'll be corrected. I don't believe they get a lot of the proceeds from the film itself.
No, you're right. That is where they make the money. I understand that. But you know, again, we've had this, and certainly after the situation in Colorado and Aurora, that you wonder why there isn't, you know, we've talked about security at various theaters and large gatherings of people.
The bigger question is, what is wrong with people? In other words, if you're a family man and you're at the film, a matinee film, and you know you have a bit of a temper issue, perhaps don't bring a gun.
He's a 71-year-old. He's a 71-year-old veteran police officer. We assume that he had a very, you know, clean record and a good cop. He was a captain, right? I believe, and of the department. And
they want ex-cops to carry guns because really it's free police.
They're
people
trustworthy,
around
you
them.
Know, and they yeah. demonstrated that they can.
Well, no, I don't think that's the reason they want it. They want it because it's just like you have 73,000, 72,000 cops, then you have all these retired guys with guns on it, and localities want that to happen.
That's fine, but know thyself. If you know you have a temper problem, put away the gun. Don't carry a gun. I have a temper problem. I do not own a gun. Uh-huh. I've been known to have an outburst at times. I would never own a gun for that reason. Don't do it. Don't do it, man. Humanity, stop. Stop with the guns if you have temper issues. Stop it.
Yeah. Wow. I hear you.
Wow.
I hear you. I don't carry a gun either.
Well, yeah, that's a good thing.
To be sure, the defense in this case will probably be that he had a psychic anomaly and he lost it and he was suffering from some disorder.
Yeah, that's a good defense, but meantime, the guy's dead.
Yeah. No.
Okay, we have 7 minutes left.
Great.
I'm going to give you a choice. All right?
Is this going to be done by...
We have a quorum. What?
I mean, are you going to make the final decision or do we get to vote?
You get to vote.
All right.
I said you guys got to make the final choice.
I wasn't going to part like the Egyptian election. I wasn't going to participate unless I had a sense that...
You were going to win?
No, there was a fair...
My question is this. Do you want to talk about A-Rod or do you want to talk about the story about the wrong airport?
A-Rod.
Okay.
Well, that's my vote.
It sounds like there's two right
here. It's the old Soviet system. We put it to the Politburo. It's good to go. We're doing...
What about your vote? What do you vote for?
Doesn't matter, comrade. Let's just move on.
I would like to vote for the A-Rod story.
All right. We're all good with the A-Rod story? Mm-hmm. All right. I personally find the airport story fascinating.
Okay, let's do the airport story. Let's do the airport story.
Let's call the whole thing off.
Okay, what happened?
You know what? I think we can get to both.
Okay,
but here we go. Number one, so a Southwest plane, two pilots who landed a passenger jet plane at the wrong airport. Oops. In Missouri have been suspended while U.S. authorities investigate the mishap. The aircraft returned to normal service on Monday, almost a day after landing on a runway roughly half the length of its intended destination. On Sunday evening, it landed in the small, Taney County Airport, 7 miles from Branson, Missouri. It's the second jet to land at the wrong airport in the U.S. since November.
It's probably named after Roger Taney.
Well...
Who was the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court back in the day.
They have been suspended, these two pilots, and the investigation is ongoing. But I thought that you had instrument landing, and it kind of took you right to the airport. But
sure.
I
thought that's why we had that three-letter code. Like, you put in, ALB, that's Albany, and you land in Albany.
Right.
And one is a major airport that would accept a larger aircraft, and the other one is a smaller airport.
And they had to throw on the brakes because
the runway is like half the size.
So a lot of people could have died.
Right. When they got off the plane, they looked and they were like right at the edge.
Yeah.
Of the runway.
And that's an oopsie.
It's not a metaphor. It was
an oopsie.
But I'm with you. I had the same thing. Like, how does that happen? Because we're told that, and maybe this is why it happens, but we're told that so much of the operation of planes is done electronically and through computer operations. And maybe that's it. I don't know. But it certainly seems odd that you do something like that.
Well, it could have been anything. They could have just woken up and said, boy, there's an airport down there.
We better land this thing. Hey, I got to go to the bathroom, you know?
I think in the past when I don't remember.
It was only 7 miles, but maybe it was closer to the Osmond Theater.
It was a, right. It was, I believe in the last case, it was, they were all so close by and you know, you are using both your instruments and your sight to see it, and you see a runway and you recognize it, and then that's your natural tendency is just to steer into it, I suppose. So that'll be the defense of the
we'll find out.
Here's just a quick comment to what you just said. When you're looking for a place to park, you look and you see, oh, that's a handicap spot, and oh, that's a spot I can take. Hmm. And you know which one to go into.
So I don't get it.
The plane. Well, I'm with Ray. I don't get this one either.
When it's half the length,
is that when from above you look and you see two runways, you see a runway and you say, okay, that must be the airport.
Right.
My point is that if you have two spots, you know, you look and you know which one you go to, right? That should be part of the
What's
process.
What's the airline involved?
Southwest.
One that services Southwest. The Albany County Airport.
Okay.
Well, which is, by the way, an airline that has tremendous safety record.
Absolutely.
A wonderful. Reputation. So, but still, you have pilots.
There's probably a tipping point.
Legal department's fine with this.
You know, maybe when they realize this is not the the Branson Airport, but we're at the point where we can't, you know, reverse this safely, and we have to land. You know, there probably became.
I'm sure there's a plausible explanation. Governor Christie's involved in some way. He blocked one airport.
couldn't close. We
probably right.
Unfortunately, we don't have time for the A-Rod story now, but we'll do it tomorrow. Okay. He's still going to be in the news. Spring training's a long way away. We love getting your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. I feel like I haven't done my job unless Ray leaves here shaking his head. You're listening to the Roundtable on WAMC.